As we're doing our fourth step inventories, we look at the issue of what has caused us to have resentment or what has caused us to have fear. And we fill out forms to work this process through. So how a resentment in my own personal life led me to the pathway of not one relapse, but relapse after relapse after relapse after relapse. So this is the parable of the fire truck. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly message. And so this is a portion of my own personal testimony that I'm sharing, and I have to thank the men that were in my step group for giving me the courage to look at this issue in my own life. What does a fire truck have to do with God? What does this fire truck have to teach me about resentment, hidden agendas, not being able to meet unexpressed expectations of others, hiding my feelings, inability to trust, keeping secrets, telling lies, fantasies, and not being able to forgive myself or others? As a 5-year-old in 1955, one boy was consumed by this fire truck. I fantasized about putting out fires and rescuing people. I must have saved a gazillion people. When this hook and ladder truck appeared in the toy section of the Sears catalog, I spent hours looking at it. The ladder went up 34 inches. I didn't know what 34 inches was, but it sounded like a big distance. And there were three detachable ladders, the cab turned, and I wanted this new type of truck bad. I made my Christmas list in August. My Christmas list had one item on it, this fire truck. As you can tell, my 5-year-old mind absorbed plenty. I also had great imagination. What I learned strongly influenced my life. For 58 years, I related to God and to others with skepticism and mistrust. Ultimately, it was the major contributing factor to my not being able to forgive myself. As the oldest of three children, I was the first one to enter school. My parents were so proud of their big boy. Dressed in new shoes and wearing new pants and a new shirt, I headed off for my first day at school. I arrived at the schoolyard and was immediately confronted by a sight that scared the daylights out of me. Some things dressed in black seemed to be flying around in the schoolyard. I thought they were witches flapping their vests, and they were going to get me. I ran for a safe place. I ran home. Petrified. I gasped for air as my little legs carried me as fast as I could go. Home will be a safe place. Mom will protect me, I convinced myself. My burning lungs heightened my fear. I thought that if they caught me, they would choke me to death. So I ran faster. Finally, I reached the safety of my own home. As I burst through the door, my mother yelled, "What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in school." My attempt to explain myself was met with how ashamed she was of me. I was emphatically told that there was nothing to be afraid of. She snarled, "Big boys don't cry. Big boys don't get scared. Obviously, you're not a big boy. I am so ashamed of you." She told me that I was not going to get the hook and ladder fire truck that she and my father were planning to give me for a present because of my first day at school. She knew I wanted this so badly that I had already put it on my Christmas list. She told me I would never get it. Not for Christmas, not for my birthday, never. 58 years later, I still never received one. Now I was not only scared, but I was confused and felt like a loser. I felt inadequate, and because of some unstated deal that I didn't even know about, I was to be punished. I rationalized to myself, I can't count on anything because I can never know what I will be found inadequate about. I thought, I'm bad. I'm a loser. I shouldn't be scared, but I am. I can't get anything right. I can never please my parents. And because I don't know what their hidden expectations are, I don't know how to meet them. And because I don't know what to expect, I can never measure up. I'll never be any good. I'll never be able to please anybody. I was sent to my room for the rest of the day to await my father's return from work. I knew that meant getting the belt, his old Marine Corps belt with the buckle removed. Why am I being punished for being scared? I asked myself over and over that afternoon. I better never get scared again because I'll be punished. I can't win because I don't know what's expected of me. I'll never get anything right. I'm no good. I'm a loser. Why is it wrong for me to be scared? When my father got home, I got the belt. Before being sent to my room for the night, he told me that I would have to apologize to Mother Superior and to the principal at the school after church on Sunday. I would have to tell them why I ran away from them. I entered Celebrate Recovery and was encouraged to participate in a step group meeting. And as I completed the fourth step inventory about the resentment I held about this situation, about the hook and ladder fire truck, I began to understand that I had learned some important lessons that day. These were not the messages that my parents were trying to teach me. They wanted to teach me the importance of being in school. But these were the lessons that I would fuel my core beliefs from that point on. The wiring in my little brain that was so active at that time got twisted, and my thinking was fueled by emotions. So I held my resentments toward others, which kept me from forgiving them because I believed I was too bad, so I could never be forgiven, so I shouldn't forgive anybody else either. From the incident about the fire truck, I came to believe I can never know what others have for hidden agendas. I'd better be able to guess what others want, or I'll be told I don't measure up. I'll be punished for being scared. I'm a big baby if I cry. I must apologize when I don't mean it. Lie. Because I'm a bad person. Don't talk about my feelings. And I'm powerless. My situation is hopeless. I'm useless. I'll never measure up. I'm no good. As I grew older, my distorted core beliefs came to include fantasies are better than reality because I can be a winner or a hero in my fantasies, which feels a lot better than being a loser. Fantasies are a great way to medicate my pain. If families are a picture of God, then God is emotionally distant. I can't talk to him about how I feel. He doesn't care. And I'll give him more of a reason to punish me because I'm a loser. God enjoys punishing me when I get things wrong. I wonder what hidden agenda God has. How can I be sure I'm ever really forgiven? If I can't be sure God has forgiven me, how can I ever dare to forgive myself? Since I'm powerless about whether God has forgiven me, I can't forgive others either, because that's how I can keep power over those who have hurt or wronged me. As I grew older, my core beliefs came to include fantasies are better than reality. Whoop. What did I do? Okay. So, as you'll see, my pathway to relapse was I medicated myself from reality by fantasizing. As a pubescent boy, my fantasies turned to sexual matters also. And these certainly felt better than feeling powerless, helpless, useless, and no good. Like a failure. So every time in life I was faced with situations and or people that triggered feelings of powerlessness, hopelessness, helplessness, uselessness, and fear, I reacted based on the core beliefs that fed my thinking. Over and over, I relapsed. For 58 years, I followed the pathway to relapse outlined earlier and was complacent about the practices and safeguards of reacting to situations rather than responding to them. I isolated myself from others, including skipping recovery meetings. I never wrote things down, kept a journal of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors so as to identify maladaptive patterns that I was following. I kept secrets by never talking about what was going on with me. So my old habits became hang-ups. My hang-ups then turned into habits that hurt others and me. Enter Celebrate Recovery in the gift of a step group, a sponsor, and an accountability partner. Parted me quietly and gently and allowed me to be vulnerable. Here, six other men created an environment that felt safe for me. No matter what I shared, I was loved, accepted, and encouraged to explore my resentment about the fire truck and what it brought about. I explored the people involved with my resentment, the actions that hurt me, and the effect those actions had on my life, the damage to my social life, my sense of safety and security, my sexuality, and what part of the resentment about this event I am responsible for maintaining to this day. As I explored these issues, God gave me a gift. He revealed how my belief system and core beliefs were hurting others and me. God has shown me that in the midst of all this hurt, that He unconditionally loves me and wants me to be free from it. He wants to heal me. Relapse prevention, in relapse prevention, I have found a choice. Now I make every effort to practice 7, reserving a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer, in order to know God and His will for my life, and to gain the power to follow His will, because this is how I refocus my stinking thinking, and I can be conformed to the will, plan, purpose, and timing of God in my life. God has shown me that in the midst of all my hurts and my hang-ups and habits, that He unconditionally loves me and wants me to be healed. He has shown me the reality of Romans 8, 1 and 2. And would you please read that with me? Therefore, there is now no condemnation, not even by me, for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death.
Romans 8, 1 and 2.
In the midst of all of this, good has come out. And I'd have to tell you with a resounding yes, the victory, it's been incredible as I look back at this. The gift that I got out of all this pain and processing this and what God was working in my life to help me with, I have learned to organize and plan because I can successfully anticipate contingencies that other people overlook. 2, I have developed the capacity to empathize with those who are marginalized and disenfranchised. And 3, God has a greater gift for me than the fire truck. Just after Thanksgiving 2013, He showed me very clearly that He wanted me to learn to forgive myself because He has already forgiven me. So the reality of Psalm 81:6 has come alive. This is God speaking. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket of afflictions. And God gave me even more. You know that fire truck that I always wanted and I never got? Guess what I received? Christmas of 2013. From an accountability partner. So when I say people in step groups love you and people in Celebrate Recovery love you, I know that firsthand because I even got my fire truck now. Tonight, as we break into our small groups, we're going to be looking at one question. Okay, what are some of the tools you have developed in your recovery to prevent relapse? Thank you for letting me share.